This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore on 93.3 CFRU FM. In today's show, I'm going to be interviewing Tom Manley from Homestead Organics. And in our first segment, Tom is going to talk about the incorporation of Homestead Organics and what it does as a processor of seed and feed for the livestock industry in Canada and the United States. This is Walter Garrison on CFRU 93.3 FM, the host of Locavore. And I'm here today with Tom Manley from Homestead Organics. And Tom is the keynote speaker at the 2011 Guelph Organic Conference. Tom, thank you very much for coming onto the program and agreeing to speak with us today.
Well, I thank you for the invitation. Very pleased to be with you.
So, Tom, could you describe the focus of Homestead Organics, what it does?
Homestead Organics was incorporated in 88 by my father, and when they were processing on the farm, in 97 we divided it. He kept the land and we took the processing off farm, so we're not farming at this time, but we work with farmers. Homestead Organics is an organic farm supply business, grain processor, seed cleaner, feed mill, and our business is to serve and develop organic agriculture.
Can you describe some of the products that you make?
Our primary product is mixed grains for livestock feed provided to poultry, dairy, and other livestock types on farms in the region, Eastern Ontario, Western Quebec, and Northern New York State. The second major product we do is condition or otherwise clean and sort food-grade soybeans for the soy milk processors, and then we complement that with a number of other farm supplies.
In this next section, Tom talks about Homestead Organics clients and the two-way relationship that they have with farmers, buying from them and also selling to them. He also talks about the relationship that Homestead has with the soy milk industry and how important organic certification and buying local is. So, Tom, could you tell us about who your clients are?
We have a two-way relationship with the farmers in the region, in our region, Eastern Ontario. So the farmers are both our suppliers of grains for our manufacturing, but also our customers at the same time. We're exchanging checks back and forth, essentially. So we'll buy the input grains from them, and then we'll turn around and sell to them or other farmers mixed feeds. Our second group of customers, major customers, would be Canada's soya milk manufacturers. And you might recognize some names such as the Natura brand or the Sonice brand of soya milk organic on the supermarket shelf. We're one of the suppliers of Eastern Ontario soybeans into those processors.
How important is it to those customers that you are certified organic as an operation?
Yes. Organic certification is critical to these customers. The farmers themselves are part of the organic food value chain. They are supplying certified organic milk into brand names such as Organic Meadow. They're providing chicken and eggs into brands such as Burnbrae eggs. And therefore, they need inputs that are certified organic, and therefore our farmers who supply us have to be certified organic. The major brand names of soya milk on the supermarket shelf need organic certification to be credible to their customers, and they require us also and down to the farmer to be certified.
So this is an important aspect of traceability from the growers themselves, you as processors, for example, and then again the processing procedure to make the soya milk and ultimately on the supermarket shelves.
Yes, there are a lot of homemade definitions of what organic is or could be or should be, and we all have to refer to one standard to have that common definition. Therefore, the customer at the supermarket shelf picks up a product certified organic. They can refer to that definition at the Canadian General Standards Board and understand what it means, and there's no variability in there or other tweaks or improvisation involved.
Now, as far as locally grown grains, as an example, Ontario-grown grains, do you have an idea of what proportion of Ontario-grown grains you might use in your products?
That's a very important point. We believe strongly that certified organic should also be local as much as possible. And in our particular case, we're in Eastern Ontario around the Cornwall area. We'll buy about 60% of our grains, pushing 70% of our grains within a two-hour drive. Therefore, from Kingston as far west and then stretching to Montreal. Ontario as a whole is very far from us. So obviously we're going to buy across a political boundary into Quebec because it's close to home. So two-thirds roughly of our grains come within a two-hour drive. The other third comes from either Atlantic Canada or Western Canada, and then a negligible amount might come out of the U.S., but not very often.
In this next section, Tom talks about customizing feed for animals, and how we seem to manage our animal nutrition better than we manage the nutrition of our own children, the major challenges that he faces as a business, the dangers of growing too big, too fast, and he talks about the successes that Homestead Organics has. Tom, I'd like to talk about the production process and specifically what you do to create and customize feeds for an animal. Can you give an example of, for example, poultry, how you might customize a feed for a chicken's age and production cycle?
Yes. Various animals have different nutritional needs, just like humans, at different stages of their life and different production cycles. Those major characteristics are around nutrition, such as protein, fat, fiber, calcium, some vitamins, and other important minerals. So we'll, for example, in a meat chicken, a broiler, for example, we'll start off at a very high level of protein, around 20 and 22% as a chick. After a couple of weeks to 4 weeks, we'll go to an 18% protein, and then as they're older, go down maybe to a 16% protein, eventually to the date of slaughter. In the case of laying hens, we have to increase the amount of calcium for egg production, for egg shells, and they'll typically have an 18 to 16% protein in their diet. It's amazing to see that we're managing livestock on farms, their nutrition requirements much better than we manage that of our own children.
What is, as far as the production process or any other aspect, would be the biggest challenges that you face day to day in your operation?
Oh, I would say running a business is complicated. I don't care if you're a radio station or an organic food business, it's complicated. I would say that our daily stresses turn around staff. It's interesting.
Really?
We're 12 people working there, so we're an important, we're the largest employer, private employer in our village. It's a small village, but staff is the major challenge. Therefore, you're trying to hire competent staff, you're trying to train staff, you're dealing with time off and holidays and injuries away from work and on work, their own family concerns, their own stresses. And then when people leave, it's replacement and starting the cycle over again. Running any business, I've talked to a lot of business owners, their major challenge turns around staff.
Yeah, and then retraining. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, I'm very much a proponent of Made in Canada for any manufactured good. And certainly when we talk about feed grains, it's something that you're processing. And you've just talked about specific formulations for specific ages of a specific animal on site of the farm. As far as what you're doing, though, do you find that it is still a worthwhile endeavor for someone to get involved and start up and do small-scale processing like you're doing, especially customized to your clientele?
In any sector, whether it be organic food or in widgets, a business has to have a good plan, some decent capital, a good entrepreneur, and a niche market to get going in. And in a small business, you're trying to work out that balance between capital investment, volume available, economies of scale. When we started 13 years ago, or reorganized 13 years ago, our strategy was to grow big fast. And there are a couple of key reasons for that. One is, because we're in a commodity business, we had to achieve economies of scale to make sure the business was financially viable. So we had to grow that volume as quickly as we could to maintain to reach that level of economy of scale. And secondly, we knew that as the organic sector grows, mainstream businesses, conventional food businesses, would enter the organic sector. And if we did not have a leading market share in that sector to demonstrate our leadership, we would be easily run over by those mainstream businesses. And the fact that we're still there and succeeding and growing, I think, means we've achieved those two objectives: grow big fast to achieve economies of scale, and market leadership to resist competition.
So in that essence, growing big fast, how do you maintain quality and making sure you're not growing too big too fast, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can grow too big too fast. I come out of the telecommunications sector, and years ago when Bell went to competition, a lot of competitors came and went because they grew too fast. And that's an issue, and we have to manage that. Symptoms of growing too fast is overload of work and not enough staff, lack of procedures, lack of quality control, pushing stuff out the door too quickly and not maintain that quality, not being able to return phone calls to customers. You can grow too fast. So we have to moderate that and be very deliberate. And yes, sometimes, and it happens, I have to say no to potential customers that I can't handle because of volume, space, or staffing.
As far as your own operation, what have been some of the significant successes that you've had with Homestead Organics?
The fact that we're still here, we persevered. We've seen people in our sector come and go over the years and change, and it didn't work out. But the fact that we're still here, and therefore I think we have a very low loyal customer base as growers supplying us and as customers using our products, and we've done very well in that regard. And I think just being here and being on this radio show shows that we've persevered, things have worked, and the strategy worked.
Did you have an inclination when you started the business that there was a demand for custom certified organic feed for animals?
Definitely. Now, again, my parents had converted the farm to organic production and started making feed on the farm starting in 88, and I took over in 97. So, in fact, I have to congratulate my parents for proving the market. And even then, when I went to form this business or reorganize the business in 97, I went to my bank manager, and I gave him a great business plan. I was very happy with it, but it was rather useless, because he said to me, Tom, this is a great business plan, best one we've seen in years. We're not going to support you, because you are an unproven business person in an unproven business in an unproven market. And that was the organic sector in 1997. But today it's quite different. We're financed by BDC, we have private investors, and I was just visiting this morning with some business consultants, and they see the organic sector as hot, and capital markets are getting involved.
In this next section, Tom talks about sustainability on site of Homestead Organics, financial sustainability, and environmental sustainability. And he also discusses an exciting new project growing the infrastructure of Homestead Organics called Organic Central. Tom, how do you incorporate sustainability into your operation, I guess in the long term, but also on a day-to-day basis as well?
Yes, for a small and growing business, sustainability has various aspects to it. On one hand, and a very clear one, and I can start there, is financial sustainability. Therefore, we have to make sure that we do appropriate cost control, we do capital planning, we set our prices and our margins that pay us a fair return to our investors, to our lenders, and also give us a take-home pay, and to cover debts, bad debts and risks. People sustainability is important, to treat the staff properly with respect, to pay them a competitive wage, and to provide them proper working conditions, respect all the government regulations. And then I would say in terms of environmental sustainability, and that's our focus, we are in the organic food business. We buy local, we sell local, we train farmers to help develop organic products. So we've hit those sustainability on those three angles.
Now, you mentioned buying local and selling local. How far afield do your products get?
Well, the furthest would be, for example, the So Nice soy milk product, which is manufactured in Vancouver area, and we'll ship soybeans there by rail. And but the vast majority of our products stay within a two-hour drive.
As far as future growth potential, what do you see as areas that Homestead Organics could probably go into in a larger way, or new areas that you might consider entering?
The two answers to that question, for one, is as the organic sector grows, there are more animals to feed, more people want organic, so it's more of the same. Therefore, larger volumes of livestock feed, of soybeans, of farm inputs, of seed, and so on, things we master already, and we're a leader in that market. But secondly, we also have to grow our infrastructure, our capacity. We are currently bursting at the seams. Therefore, to deal with that, we have launched a project called Organic Central. And Organic Central will provide a facility, a roof, essentially, for a number of organic food processors, such as ourselves, who are bursting at the seams, facing an organic, growing organic market, and who need a larger capacity. And we're teaming up with a half dozen businesses to move into a common facility. And that's a pretty exciting project. And you can check that out at www.organiccentral.ca.
Okay, so that's www.organiccentral.ca. Now, is the government involved at all, or any level of government in funding in that move, or is it all private sector money? Or
The answer is yes, both are. In our development phase up until now, we've been funded doing business planning and feasibility studies by the IRAP program of the National Research Council. They've been very good to us. We received $50,000 this current year to work on that project. Very pleased with that. Now we're going to a lot of other government programs as we go to reality, purchasing a property, upgrading a building, installing infrastructure, and so on. We'll be looking for support from private investors, which we've collected a number of them. We'll be looking for bank support and for government support to make this happen.
What other businesses are part of Organic Central in addition to your own custom feed business?
We're looking at a local Eastern Ontario flour miller joining us there because they're bursting at the seams. We're looking at a major food distributor setting up shop with us. We're looking at a seed processor who is active in the organic sector, but has to segregate the organic operation from conventional to working with us there. We're looking at an organic soybean roaster and extruder who's currently my subcontractor, but in a conventional timeshared facility, looking at locating the organic production capacity in a dedicated facility at Organic Central. We are trying to recruit an organic vegetable processor to handle local produce off farms going into local markets, just to give a few examples.
Now, is that seed processor, is that grain seed, vegetable seed, or what type of seed is that?
This case would be field crops, therefore grains, corn, soybeans.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And as far as your own business, do you think about, you talked about a flour miller as well, yourself getting into any processing for grains for human consumption, like cereals at all?
We are doing the soybeans for human consumption as whole soybeans going to the soy milk manufacturers. In the area of cereals, we prefer to work with the partner who's already there. There's an Eastern Ontario flour mill doing organic already, and they're considering moving into Organic Central with us, and we'll be co-located partners, but I don't think I'll be doing it myself.
Okay, and as far as the contact info for Homestead Organics, could you give that out so people know?
Yes, Homestead Organic is located in far Eastern Ontario. It's way further than Port Hope. So we're in the small village of Berwick, which is halfway between Cornwall and Ottawa. We're about an hour from the Quebec border in the county of Stormont. And we're in the village of Berwick, and our website is www.homesteadorganics, all one word with an S, homesteadorganics.ca.
In this next section, Tom talks about what the organic movement has done well and how it's grown up. And he also discusses what the organic movement can do to improve itself and make it a more profitable and financially sustainable endeavor for growers. Tom, in the last 10 years, what do you think the organic movement has done well?
I can sum it up by saying that the organic movement has grown up. When we started being very immature and lack of experience, we had struggled with branding and packaging and sanitation and quality of product, consistency of supply. But we grew up, and by doing so, we became more professional, more organized. There's been excellent collaboration in the organic sector. Good associations have come together. Therefore, we're delivering to retail customers, direct consumer customers, CSAs, and supermarkets on a regular basis. We have the consistency, the quality, the branding, packaging, and traceability that we've organized. So essentially, we've grown up and did a very good job about that.
In what areas do you think the organic movement needs to improve on?
I think we have to improve on localization. We are in a somewhat of a competition, if you wish, with the local food movement. And that's unfortunate because we always thought that organic food should be and is local. But unfortunately, it's not all local. We still eat too much organic produce imported from California, too much cookies imported from England and stuff like that. So we have to develop an infrastructure here in Canada, here in Ontario, to close that gap between the organic farmer and the organic consumer with the processing, the storage, and distribution. And I referred back to my project of Organic Central, which is going to try that, at least in Eastern Ontario. Other companies and businesses, family outfits across Ontario and Canada are doing efforts along that line. But as we continue to close that gap and provide that continuous chain locally, we'll be able to capture both the local and organic market and satisfy that concern.
So the idea of having a multifunctional processing facility is not unique in Berwick or in Eastern Ontario. There's other jurisdictions in Canada where they're trying this as well?
Not like that. Okay. Having a multifaceted infrastructure with multiple companies located there is rather unique.
Okay.
But individuals are doing it alone. Organic Meadow is doing great work in southwestern Ontario in processing milk. And you have Mapleton Organics doing ice cream and yogurt here in Ontario. That's wonderful. Fenning's doing organic vegetable processing from the field into the warehouse and the processor into the supermarket. They're doing good work. The challenge is that these individuals developed it with great sweat, a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty, and I think there's an opportunity for a number of businesses to get together and collaborate to put a single roof over their head and share a lot of infrastructure and reduce their cost of doing so.
And this leads me actually to my next question, and maybe we'll partially answer the next question, is when we look at certified organic food, it can be much costlier than conventionally produced food. And depending on your status in society and your economic state, whether or not you have a job, how do we reconcile this notion of farmers, growers, processors getting a fair price for what they produce, while at the same time making it relatively affordable for consumers that by and large would prefer to buy organic, but may not be able to do so at current prices? Mm-hmm. I see it as a very large issue that needs to be addressed.
And the last 13 years that I've been in the organic sector, we hit that question regularly. Fundamentally, though, we have to recognize that organic food is not too expensive. We've been saying that for years, given that big gap between the two. We've been responding, it's not that organic food is too expensive, conventional food is too cheap. and conventional farmers were losing their shirts and going out of business and living off their equity as opposed to their income and their government support programs. And so we're starting to see that gap close now with the rise of conventional food prices. Commodity prices around the world, whether it be rice, wheat, or sugar, are going up. And farmers, I hope it's the farmers benefiting from this, not just the brokers and speculators.
Right.
But farmers, at least in Canada, are now doing better than they were a number of years ago. There's still some struggles in the hog and beef sector, but grain farmers in particular are doing much better. So we're seeing that gap close by a rise in the price of conventional food. Secondly, the organic sector can do more work to make their food more cost-efficient and more affordable, and not on the back of the farmers. But farmers, processors, and distributors, as we increase our volumes, we'll also increase our experience, our efficiency, and our economies of scale to make that food more affordable to the end user without necessarily doing it on the backs of the farmers.
In the last section of our interview, Tom talks about his definition of organic and how it includes good livestock health and feeding the microbes and crop rotation as far as a production method incorporating sustainability on the farm, and how there is a difference between the term local and the term organic. Tom, I'd like to ask you, what is your definition of organic?
Well, being certified organic for 13 years, I have a rather textbook definition of organic. And in doing so, I want to separate the two words of local and organic. We often use them in the same sentence, and sometimes we presume they mean the same thing, and it's not the case. Local and organic are two different words. Organic is a production method, wherever it's located in the world, that incorporates sustainability on the farm and in the land, crop rotations, good livestock health, good soil quality management, soil organic matter, feeding the microbes as opposed to feeding the plants, the avoidance of soluble fertilizers, of chemical synthetic pesticides and GMOs, avoiding antibiotics and various food preservatives and other toxins in the soil. That's organic. We want to add the word local to it. Local means local production, processing, and consumption. The two words are not synonymous, and yes, we can import, and we do, unfortunately, import a lot of organic food from around the world. It's still organic. I would like to replace that with local food that's organically produced.
Do you think there's a place to put bioregionality into the definition of organic, like you just talked about, so that if food travels a certain distance, it might not be considered certified organic, or is there a way to address that issue?
I believe we have to keep the two definitions separate. We cannot overly complicate life. And if we try and build in some kind of food mile measurement in organic, we're gonna hurt ourselves. We can address that by proper labeling and claims. The Local Flavors Plus, for example, or Local Food Plus label is a good way of certifying a locally produced product that is also certified organic, if so be the case. But just relationships and branding and awareness and contact with customers is very important. So if a local carrot is being produced and stored locally and sold locally, then say so. But it's not necessarily implied in the word organic. Doing so would be just way too complicated.
Tom, I'd like to thank you very much for coming in and talking to us today about your Operation Homestead Organics. And I learned a great deal from our conversation today, and I wish you continued success with your operation.
Well, thank you for the invitation, and I wish success to this radio show.
This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore on CFRU 93.3 FM. And today you've been listening to my interview with Tom Manley of Homestead Organics. I would like to thank Sarah Mangle, Brian Webb, Peter Bradley, Steve Mason, and Christopher Curry for the assistance in putting this show on the radio.